This news story was written by Jesus Rodriguez. He campaigned for Biden in Michigan. Now he's working against him. In 2020, Adam Abusala wanted to knock Donald Trump out of the White House. These days, he'd take pretty much anyone over Biden. Dearborn, Michigan. One day before Michigan's Democratic presidential primary, Adam Abusala sat behind the wheel of his black Ford F-150, listening to President Biden appeal for support on a local radio show. The president described why this election year was so important. "I think what's at stake is literally our democracy," Biden said, raising the specter of Donald Trump, his probable opponent in the November election. Abusala, 23, pinched the bridge of his nose with his left hand and shook his head. He's heard Biden say those things about democracy before. He had said such things himself. In 2020, he had knocked on the doors of fellow Arab American voters here in this suburb of Detroit and asked them to help Biden topple Trump. But that was then. "When I campaigned for Biden 4 years ago, we'd never seen a Biden presidency," he said. "Now we have." Here's what he sees: a president who has willingly abetted Israel's bombardment of Gaza, a military campaign that has created a humanitarian calamity. And so now he was organizing to get people to vote against Biden in the primary. Biden's fracturing coalition, especially in this swing state, has emerged as an early subplot of Democratic hand-wringing ahead of a November rematch with Trump. Last time, the nativism and Islamophobia emanating from the MAGA movement made Biden an appealing choice for Michigan's large Arab American and Muslim populations, as well as for young people and activists. Famously, Trump had called for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States during his 2016 campaign. As president, he had moved to restrict incoming travelers from several Muslim-majority countries. Abusala, whose Palestinian family immigrated to Dearborn from Jordan in the 1970s, had been a Bernie Sanders guy first. But in the run-up to Election Day, he had made some 1,500 calls and sent several thousand texts on Biden's behalf, he says. That November, on his 20th birthday, his family bought him an Oreo cake from Dairy Queen with "Biden 2020" spelled out in blue piping. The next day, the news projected, after several tense days of ballot counting, that the Democrat had prevailed. He hadn't thought Biden was a perfect president before October 7th. But what Abusala saw in the aftermath of Hamas's attack on Israel felt like a betrayal. Biden's reiteration of Israel's disputed claims about beheaded children. His choice not to publicly advocate for a permanent ceasefire. His continued support for sending funds to Israel. "I don't think there is anything that I can tell people in my community to justify voting for this guy," he said now. "Even if I was still in the mindset that I was in 4 years ago, which is, he's not Trump." He got out of the truck and walked into the community center that served as a headquarters for Listen to Michigan, a campaign that was urging Michiganders to vote uncommitted in the Democratic primary as a protest vote against the administration's policy on the war in Gaza. Abusala's day job is in local government, handling communications for a county agency, but he was also one of Listen to Michigan's organizers, transporting supplies around town, training volunteers, speaking to reporters. One from the BBC was waiting to interview him. They sat down at a round table, and Abusala turned the point Biden had made on the radio about democracy into a quotable retort. "Democracy," he told the reporter, "is listening to what your people want. Democrats nervous about Trump's return may now be inclined to listen to Michigan, hoping that the voters who are holding out against Biden want something the president can deliver to change their minds before the general election." In the week after the Michigan primary, the administration would start signaling some policy changes on Gaza, airdropping meals on the Gaza Strip, advocating for an immediate ceasefire for at least the next 6 weeks, as Vice President Harris put it Sunday. But what Abusala wants in November, what he says he'll keep organizing to achieve, might be hard for them to hear. He wants Biden to lose. Abusala was once proud to be the politically correct person, wearing a suit with a lapel pin, and being nice to everybody. He volunteered for Rashida Tlaib, a fellow Palestinian-American from Detroit, when she successfully ran for Congress in 2018. He thought he might run for office one day and got involved with local Democrats. He recalls accepting invitations to weird-ass dinners with elected officials because he thought they could help him get ahead. But the whining and dining part of politics felt disjointed from the idea of helping people who are hurting. Abusala's souvenirs from that earlier phase in his young political life include a photo on his phone of himself beaming next to former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, Showing it now, he cursed under his breath. His usual affect is good-natured and polite, but Abu Saleh has soured on niceness as a political strategy. "I don't think that whole playing nice, I don't think it works," he says. "I mean, we as a community, we've played nice, and we've been good to a lot of these politicians for so long. And look where we're at now." His father's side of the family fled their home in Beit Hanina near Jerusalem amid the 1967 war, Abu Saleh says. After some years in Jordan, his paternal grandmother, Bahia Abu Saleh, settled on the top floor of a yellow two-story home on the south side of Dearborn. When I first talked to her about everything that was happening, literally her words were, "It's nothing new," in Arabic, he says. On the day of the Democratic primary, Abu Saleh was driving near his grandmother's old neighborhood when a headline from Reuters appeared on his phone, a screenshot from a friend. At an ice cream shop in New York City, a day earlier, Biden had told reporters that his advisors were close to securing a temporary ceasefire. But now, according to Reuters, a Qatari official was saying that there was no real breakthrough yet on the deal. "Look, I know this is something people might not say," he said, processing this news. "I personally don't think Joe Biden's running the show. I think Antony Blinken is making all the decisions, and that, I know this is going to sound crazy because he's the president of the United States, but I just think that they let him know what they're going to do." That kind of passivity is a key difference Abu Saleh sees between Biden and Trump. Yes, the former president was pro-Israel and a close ally of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's right-wing government. But Abu Saleh can at least imagine Trump refusing to play nice with the Prime Minister and his National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir. I think when Ben-Gvir and Netanyahu come out and say that they're not going to listen to the United States, and that they're not going to follow the United States in whatever they ask, I think Biden's and Trump's response to them at that point would have been different, he says. I think Trump would have stood up to them. The war has devastated infrastructure in Gaza and pushed it to the brink of famine. More than 30,000 people have been killed in Gaza since it began, according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Biden recently described Israel's military response as over the top, but Abu Saleh noted that his administration hasn't threatened to cut off military aid. Trump is a business executive, he says. I don't know, I really don't. But I mean, we've seen Trump come out and speak ill of Netanyahu. In October, Trump faulted Netanyahu for Hamas's attack on Israeli soil, but he later retreated from those comments. That month, he also pledged to immediately restore and expand the Trump travel ban and apply it to people who want to abolish Israel. On Tuesday, Trump told Fox News that Israel's military had to finish the problem and said that Hamas's attack wouldn't have happened with him in the White House. Weren't Biden's remarks proof that he was trying to end the killing? That the president was advocating, at least in some imperfect form, for the ceasefire Abu Saleh wanted? I don't have much faith in any words that come out of his mouth until I see actions, he says. But again, it's the same thing. It's a little too late. In the long run, he'd like to see Democrats pushing a one-state solution with equal rights for Palestinians and Israelis. But for now, Abu Saleh says, there's nothing Biden can do to earn his vote back. At this point, he figures the only way that Democrats will learn not to take Arab American votes for granted, as they have, in his view, is for Biden to lose, even if that means a second Trump presidency. If Trump becomes president again, so be it. I mean, for me, it does not matter. For people who have lost family in Gaza, they don't care. They don't care. Whichever. Like if Trump is president again. I think for us, it's not that we want Trump to be president, it's that we don't want Biden to be president, he says. And if that means another Trump presidency, that's on Biden. It's not on us. He thinks about the fears he had about Islamophobic rhetoric during the Trump years, and the fears he has now for his family, some of whom live in the West Bank. If you gave me two options, he says, and you said, do you want a Muslim ban or do you want your family killed? I'll choose the Muslim ban. He has decisions to make, not just about the election, but also about where he fits in the political landscape and who sees him as an ally. Do you know Louis Farrakhan? Abu Saleh asked over the phone a week before the primary. Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, was coming to Detroit. The Black nationalist religious movement was founded there, and Farrakhan, whom the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled an anti-Semite who routinely accuses Jews of manipulating the U.S. government and controlling the levers of world power, was set to give a speech in front of as many as 20,000 people about the Middle East. Farrakhan is suing the Anti-Defamation League and the Simon Wiesenthal Center for Defamation for describing his rhetoric as anti-Semitic, arguing that the label is false and violates his First Amendment rights. The defendants have said Farrakhan's claims lack merit. Someone on Farrakhan's team, Abu Saleh said, had invited him to speak at the convention after seeing how outspoken he was on CNN and social media. He was thinking of taking it. He didn't know too much about Farrakhan at that point, except that he'd made some controversial comments in the past. To be honest, Joe Biden has said controversial stuff before, he said later, addressing the matter of sharing a stage with such a controversial figure. Donald Trump has said controversial stuff before. A lot of people have said controversial stuff before. Abu Saleh wasn't trying to dismiss Farrakhan's remarks, he said. I was looking at this more as an opportunity just to be able to speak to a lot of people about the struggle of my family back home. He eventually declined the invitation because of a scheduling conflict. Abu Saleh wonders whether, come November, he'll have a home in the Democratic Party, or whether he'll find one in the Republican Party, or whether he'll be on the streets, bound only to fellow activists. He could see himself voting for Cornel West, the academic who has long spoken in favor of Palestinian rights. His grandmother, the one who left Beit Hanina nearly 6 decades ago, died in mid-February at 100. Her passing had opened a hole in Abu Saleh. He could only imagine the grief Palestinians in war-torn Gaza feel, surrounded by death. I can only imagine if I were to lose my parents, and if I was married, I lost my wife and my kids and my siblings and everything, I'd want to commit suicide, he says. And this is what the American administration is doing to people. Of course, he worries about how his activism and his calling the president things like a genocide lover and maniac online might affect his future job prospects. But the grim scenes in Gaza that he sees on TikTok, X, and Instagram seemed bigger than all that. What am I going to lose? He says. Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose, a contract? That's fine. What am I willing to lose when these people are losing everything? Earlier that night, it had become clear that the anti-Biden sentiment in Michigan could not be ignored as fringe. Abu Saleh was hoping for around 35,000 uncommitted votes, more than Listen to Michigan's conservative stated goal of 10,000. By the time the counting was done, uncommitted would clock more than 101,000 votes statewide. You know what's one way to describe Biden right now? He had said, beaming as the results came in. F-ed.